I'm going to leave it there.
Get in the van with the little red king.
Get in the van.
We're in the van.
Get in the van.
Everyone get in the van. Pile in. Pile in. Pile in. Get in.
Get in the van. Get in the van.
Get in the van.
Get in the van.
Get in the van.
Get in the van.
Get in the van.
Get in the van. In the van. In the van.
My name's Jason. I'm in the van. Just adjusting the seat.
I'm Joe. I'm sitting in the back of the van, collecting all, counting up all.
We've practiced.
all the dust caps I've nicked on our travels.
My name's Craig, and I'm fixing the exhaust with baler twine.
Nice.
My name's Ben. I'm drinking a beer.
Yeah, cool. Drinking a beer. He's drinking a beer.
I'm Doogie Howser. I don't know why I'm here.
You look older.
This is Get in the Van.
Hey.
The Ray King.
All right.
We practiced that first bit. That's all scripted.
Yeah.
All scripted.
The rest of it is all off the cuff.
Yeah. And what are we going to be talking about? Celebrities.
Celebrities we've met.
Celebrities we've met.
Celebrities.
Specifically, non-musical celebrities, because we've toured with all the greats.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. I mean, outside of the band. We've toured with all the big names,
yeah,
haven't we?
Yeah.
So it would be weird to mention.
Yeah. Name drop. We don't want to name drop.
Yeah, we're not name dropping.
No. So, yeah, I toured with this guy. I shared a dressing room with, you know.
Yeah.
That person.
Elton John once, you know.
Yeah.
So it's, yeah. So who's going first? Celebrities. Ben. No, we went with Ben last time. And I don't think Ben's got anything.
I met Dickie Davis.
Dickie Davis?
Dickie Davis.
The fuck is Dickie Davis?
Oh, for a certain amount of people driving along now listening to this, they've gone, Dickie Davis? The guy who used to do the sports on a Saturday morning?
Are they driving to collect their fucking pension?
You might be right. He had thick black hair with a little white streak at the
big
front.
Big tash.
Yeah. You said like Des Lynam or something like that. Then
now he's like a Des Lynam.
He kind of, yeah.
He's like a Des Lynam.
The prequel.
Yeah, yeah. He's like Des Lynam Origins.
Yeah, yeah. I got his autograph.
Where did you meet?
I can't remember.
Okay,
but
it was that long ago.
But I remember always because then every time he came back in the TV, the first thing obviously you'd say is I met him.
Yeah,
but it was something meet and greet in a bookshop or something in Belfast.
Is he still alive?
I pass.
He's passed, to see.
No, passed. As I don't know.
I met John Inman.
Mm.
Who?
I'm free.
Exactly.
Oh, God.
Did you say
who John Inman is, right?
No.
Shut up.
Are you being served?
I'm free.
I've been watching all of them again recently.
Yeah, they're
on TV.
Yeah, yeah, Mrs. Slocum's
really
pussy.
Good. They're really good. John Inman came to open the Town Fete. Where I lived, which is just brilliant. And John Inman's character in How You've Been Served was kind of a camp. It's very not PC now. So he's a gay character, but they never said he was gay. It was just lots of joke about being gay, wasn't there? And he's gone, gong, and all that kind of business. Terrible. And I met John Inman. At the time, my sister collected autographs. She had an autograph book, and she'd got like a couple of Radio Norfolk presenters and maybe the bloke that worked in the butchers or something. A really low level autographs.
C-list.
So this was going to be big. And she didn't have an autograph book with her, but that's okay because, you know, it's like a scrapbook thing. So she got John Inman's autograph. It's like, this is the best. Mm-hmm. And for some reason, she gave it to me to look after.
you lost it, right?
I lost it, yeah. And when we got home that day, you know, they're clearing up, straw bales are gone on the back of trucks and stuff. And we got home, said, where's my John Inman? I'm going to put it in my autograph scrapbook. And I was like, it's in my pocket here.
Oh.
Yeah, that's gone. I don't know what happened to John Inman autograph, but that fell out of my pocket somewhere, and she wasn't happy. But nice guy, he's probably very bored of saying I'm free. So he literally opened up the Town Fete for like tenner or something. It would be in the '80s, so it'd be he's on the downward there. Doug,
well,
celebrities.
I met Bernard Hill.
Oh, yes.
Bernard Hill.
Oh, you say that again.
You know that one.
Yeah, I know that one.
And
I've met him.
So let's say who Bernard Hill is.
Bernard Hill, fairly well-known actor.
Yazza Hughes.
Yeah, well, yes, from the olden days, me and Craig of 106.
Giza Job. Giza Job.
Exactly.
Pass.
Okay.
For me, it's King Theoden or the captain of the Titanic goes down with the ship.
Yeah.
And he knew he was screwed. So we're going up to my sister's graduation, so flying up to Scotland from Norwich Airport. And naturally, I've got there quite early. I'm not a great flyer, so I've had probably 4 pints in the space of 20 minutes to get me on that plane. And so I'm sitting there, a little bit toddled, reading a book. I just look up to see this gentleman appearing to the loading bit a bit late. And we met eyes, and I could see...
sexy.
And I could see his face.
He was like, oh.
And he went, fuck. Because he saw me go, wait a minute.
Because you're a big fan of Lord of the Rings.
I'm a massive Lord of the Rings fan.
Make that very clear. Yes. So you were like,
oh, my
king. And so cool at this point, apart from probably outwardly freaking out.
Keep it together. Yeah.
Oh my God, so, I love him. I was quite one of the first ones on the plane. And it's a small Norwich plane. And I thought, I don't know if that is him. I don't know if I'm not going to ask. So I sit down, I get my book out, and I got my guitar magazine, and I'm sat there, and there's nobody next to me yet. There's nobody next to me on the plane. I'm still sat there. I see Bernard walking up the plane. I was like, hold on a minute.
It's the king.
It's the king. And he keeps walking up the plane. I'm right at the back right seat, next to the toilets. He keeps walking, and he's looking at the numbers. And he gets to the one next to me, and he looks at me, and I look at him, and he looks at the
and
number.
And you've got your Lord of the Rings t-shirt on.
And you can see that he's like, and he puts his bag and the thing over top, sits down next to me, and I'm sat there going.
I want to talk.
And then you pass out.
And then you explode.
But he sits down next to me, and I'm just fucking having an absolute moment. But I got my music in, I got my book out, and I keep calm. And plane takes off, and 5-6 minutes in, I just take my headphone out and I go, I'm really sorry, are you Bernard Hill? And he's reading a book as well, and he takes his glasses off and he scratches his beard with his glasses, and he goes,
fuck off.
Yes, I am. And he went, I know your son. Should I say the son's name?
Well, yeah, I think that you should have maybe led with that because now it's confusing.
Yeah. Okay,
you knew his son.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is the other weird thing.
Yes.
We all knew his son.
Well, but that was how, so I said, oh, I know your son. And he went, oh, really? I put my headphone back in.
Back to my fuck book. You, Bernard.
And at that point, he went, I was like, oh, yeah, yeah.
He doesn't just want to hear about
Lord of the Rings.
Yeah.
No. I said, oh, yeah.
You did, though.
No, I didn't.
Okay.
Didn't mention Lord of the Rings the entire flight, but had a chat about how I knew his son through our drummer at the time, Harry. It's his best mate.
Yeah.
Met him in the studio here. And so then he said, oh, what are you doing on the plane? I said, I'm going up to my sister's graduation. What are you going up for? And he said, it's sort of the Edinburgh Fringe Festival. So, okay, of course, you know. And we spent the entire flight talking about Harry in his
ring.
Head, dressing to my sister, what's she doing at university? Just literally touched on everything but film careers.
Oh, nice.
Nice guy then?
Lovely. Really nice. And we chatted.
Lovely because he hadn't mentioned anything about probably the movies.
We just chatted.
His son used to come to a couple of gigs.
Yeah, yeah. So he came here.
So we were like... and he said, oh, yeah, my dad's in Lord of the Rings. He didn't actually say that, but we found out.
But we knew.
And went, oh, my God. What?
And chatted the whole way just about life. And then plane landed and all sorts. And he said, what was your name? I said, oh, it was Dougie. And he said, pleasure to meet you, Dougie. And I said, pleasure to meet you, Mr. Hill. I didn't go with the Bernard. I went, Mr. Hill.
Went full. And
got my bag down for me, which he's not the tallest either, so but anyway, we shook hands, said, oh, pleasure to meet you, goodbye. And we got off the plane, and it turns out that we then had to get a bus from the plane to the town. Fucking stood next to each other like, "How you doing?" Again. And so then walk from the arrival to baggage. So I was walking through Edinburgh Airport with Bernard Hill, and you could see people walking past going,
"Is that Dougie from Little Red?"
And just spent the whole thing like, "Yeah, I'm with Bernard Hill here." Yeah. And then,
When you got back, I remember you said that, and I sent you a meme.
You did.
I created, and in Lord of the Rings, what's his name? Is King Theoden. Theoden. He's young, isn't he? And then he gets really old and withered as the guy is. I don't know what's happening.
So when you meet King Theoden, the character, he's being controlled
young and strong.
No, he's old.
Oh, okay.
Because he's under the control of Saruman.
Okay, yeah.
And Gandalf steps up and he's like,
yeah,
and he makes him young, but you said that he was young.
So I did the meme, him young, and then old. After the flight with Dougie.
I don't know where Gimli's axe is. But we were walking, and I said, "I'm really sorry, Mr. Hill. I've got to go to the toilet." I'm passing the toilet,
nice.
And he went, "Oh, what pleasure to meet you." And
I need to go too.
He didn't. He continued the baggage. But a few months later, I was at the local pub, Blyford Queen's Head. And in there for a meal, and he was on a table.
Are you following him?
Not actively.
Okay.
But just coincidence. And he, at some point, you meet eyes. I was like, "Oh God, it's him again. He's going to think I'm crazy now." Yeah. And he just nodded to me. Mm. I nodded to him.
You went, yeah.
And that was it.
I know him from Shirley Valentine originally.
Yeah.
He's brilliant in that. But,
I'm on the F plan.
We just popped into my head. We played a gig, Dougie and I, and there was another Lord of the Rings actor in the pub. Can you remember that?
Nope.
Did that happen? We played a gig, something like the Oyster Inn or the Oyster Bay or the Oyster Cock or something.
Is that the one down
the Oyster's
in
Cock?
Miles away.
Is that the one my uncle turned up to?
Yes. Yeah.
He isn't in Lord
and
of the Rings.
There was a guy in.
There was
a guy turned up, and everyone was like, and he was looking around, and people looking at him. And he was not very chuffed about it, and he was in Lord of the Rings.
I can't remember what he did.
So we're kind
was.
Of a Lord of the Rings band.
We are in the Lord of the Rings.
I can't remember what character he played, but I said that's the guy from. So you know,
wasn't it? It was one of the. It wasn't a. I want to say he wasn't a human character. He was an Uruk-hai, an orc, or a something of the evil variety.
I don't know what you just said, but
as in he face paints, CGI masks and stuff. So
I don't know if I'd have recognised him otherwise. But
I don't think we did recognise him. I think it was everybody else going.
I can't remember. Anyway, yeah, great,
but very cool exciting story. For me.
Celebs.
I've been for a. Ruby Murray with Frankie Bridge. Her name is now. It was Frankie Stanford, I think, something like that. Out of the Saturdays. She's married to footballer Wayne Bridge.
Of course. Yeah. So, yeah, you had a little little cheeky finger with one of them, didn't you? You did the gig with the Saturdays, didn't you, Jack?
Yeah.
Yeah. Pretty cool, yeah. So then, what then? And was it then?
You no, went? it was after all that had happened, and
old business.
You just did another gig in London, and went for a curry afterwards, and she came with,
nice
through mutual friends. Yeah,
what she have?
I can't remember.
Chicken passanda?
I don't know. I think she. I don't know. I might be wrong, but I think is she. Maybe she's veggie.
Right.
Yeah.
Maybe. Yeah. Maybe a sagaloo, some side dishes.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't want to speculate. But, you know, did you share an arm, tear an arm with her,
talk a doll?
No, it's just
nice. So you kept in touch after the gig?
No,
but you haven't kept in touch now.
No.
Any of the Saturdays?
No.
Oh, shame.
What about this Saturday?
Ben, top having a curry with the Saturdays,
or a flight with the Lord of the Rings.
Or famous sports commentator, or dated comic John Inman.
Which one should I bring out?
Yeah, stuff, I imagine.
It is tough.
It's embarrassing for you because you're good friends with them as well.
I know, it's
name dropping on a different level. Go for one of the obscure ones.
Me and Stephen Fry went for a coffee and a pasty once, but I don't really, you know, he doesn't like to talk about that.
No, he doesn't.
What about that date you went on with Matt Lucas?
Yeah. when it was George Draws. George Draws. Met Pierce Brosnan? No, I didn't.
I think I'd retract that.
Have you met a celebrity, Ben, before we push this any further?
Actually, would he know?
Well, yeah. No, I don't think I'd know. Nothing jumps out, to be honest. Okay. It's like, as a memorable thing of what happened with celebrity, like, I didn't get a signature or I didn't.
But have you actually been close enough in real life?
To smell one?
Oh, yeah.
Well, who then?
Oh, yeah. I snuck into the room at one.
I don't think I have. Okay, cool. I must. I've probably seen him. I remember seeing.
TV?
I've seen him on TV.
I've seen him on TV.
Every Saturday, Noel Edmonds.
I think I was in Liverpool Street Station actually, and I did see.
Been at Liverpool, have you?
Yeah. I saw.
Come on, Ben.
Here it comes. Drum roll.
It was one of like, I think it was one of like the GMTV presenters.
Oh, Jesus.
Okay.
I was in London. You
male, female?
Female. Like Penny, like, is it Penny Lancaster or something like that? No? Who's that?
She married Rod Stewart, didn't she?
No, that's not even
that's a great story.
Yeah, that's as good as it gets, I think, actually.
You've told me a story where you have met someone famous.
Have I?
Yeah. You've told me.
Who?
Georgia from the fucking Shackleton Trio.
Georgia!
I met the little red kings.
I'll sign something for you.
If Georgia or any of the Shackleton Trio are listening, please refer to the podcast where we spoke about
embarrassing moments.
Wait, hold on,
that's not because of directly involved with
you. No, it's because we got drunk and possibly wanted to make out with Georgia. He fancied her massively, and
I apologise.
Alcohol was involved.
Yeah, alcohol was involved. So
as it should be.
Spotlight on Live Music, Part 2.
So Sam, at 2019, quite a big change for you. Because you decided to go solo?
Yeah, it was actually Kevin's fault. Going back to Kevin, the producer, I'd written a lot of songs that weren't necessarily sitting in the country kind of genre. So they weren't okay for the band. Yet he wanted to work on them and he wanted to produce them and make them into something. So he forced me, and I always use the word forced because it was forced me, to make a solo record. And literally from the first 10 minutes of being in the studio starting to make that record, everything fell into place and it all felt completely right and I felt brave enough to do it. I think having been in a band for so long, I'd gotten very, very used to having a group of people around me helping me make decisions and reassuring me, and all of a sudden I realised I was brave enough to kind of do this by myself. And even though The Long Shadows are just on a bit of a hiatus, I met up with Steve today, our Lap Steel player, about doing some like online streams of the Full Moon record and stuff. So we've not called it quits. We're still there. We're still a band. This is just kind of taking front row at the moment.
Oh, that's lovely. And that's why I didn't want to box you into a genre right at the beginning, because this album, Comeback Queen, it certainly pushes that genre of country. It is more singer-songwriter. That's why I didn't want to sort of put you into that whole country.
No, thank you for that. I think we've had a lot of arguments with a lot of people about what the genre is, which is difficult when you're trying to get it reviewed. You know, who do you send it to? Is it blues? Yeah. Is it country? Is it the A word, Americana? You know, what is it? Yeah. Is it rock or pop? And actually, I think the whole idea of being a little bit more genre fluid, which is, you know, an actual phrase, is exciting. You know, you put that record on, you're not 100% sure what you're going to hear. You don't know what to expect. And there's a lot of acts, a lot of artists doing that at the moment. I think that's why a lot of them fall into the Americana kind of genre, because that incorporates so many different things. So naturally, if you're not sure where to put something, oh, we'll call it Americana.
So
that's what's kind of happened with it. But I'm happy with it either way.
And you normally play keys. Does Kevin
play anything on that album? Does he?
Yeah, he does. So I played guitars, keys. He played some guitars. He played drums. Basically, between the two of us, we had it covered.
Yeah, because it's very keys driven. There's lots of beautiful old-fashioned keys sound and piano sound.
Yeah, there are. And I recently bought a Krumar piano, which is kind of like a modelled piano sound instrument, which is great fun. It's right. Got lots of lights on it. I know that shouldn't have impressed me as much as it did, but it's got a lot of lights.
Well, in a few moments, you're about to get the complete opposite because you're about to turn 180 degrees and play my old piano there.
I'm excited to play this.
She's a very dark brown, old, clunky thing.
It's got like a little mini cupboard in the front. Is that so that you can see inside it?
It's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Everyone comments on all the little compartments and doors and stuff. It used to be a pianola, that's why.
Oh, okay.
And we took all that gubbins out, and now it's just a clunky piano.
Very cool.
Sam, something else that I was just going to touch on is that in the past, or two things really, you've done vocal tuition?
I have, yeah.
Is that something you do anymore or not so much?
Kind of.
And was that was that for choirs and children, that kind of thing?
Yeah, that's it. I ended up, so I started a business in my 20s because I was just thinking ahead. I thought, okay, if I start a business, when I kind of hit late 20s, I might be able to step away from it and be able to be a musician and have a salary. And I never really expected that plan to work. And the plan worked. Hurrah. I have a team of teachers that go out and teach all over East Anglia, which is brilliant fun. It means that before COVID, I was only working a little bit. And it meant I could focus on making this solo record, which was great. But I don't really do a huge amount of tuition anymore. I lead a choir in Great Yarmouth. Again, before singing was the most dangerous thing you can do on the planet because of COVID. I was leading a choir in Great Yarmouth, which I absolutely loved. Like, I had this group of about 40 slightly angry middle-aged women that came down every Wednesday night to sing. And they were getting fantastic. You know, I wanted to take them on Britain's Got Talent and all this stuff. But then, of course, bloody coronavirus has ruined our fun.
Well,
but we'll be back to it at some point.
We will. And I'm trying to pack a lot in. But the other thing I want to touch on was your presenting career. Yeah. Can I call it a career or just something you dipped your toe into?
I think we'll have to. We can call it a short career. So, yeah, I was doing some presenting for the BBC, which I loved. Unfortunately, I got COVID made me get redundant. I blame that completely.
We are mentioning COVID a lot. I'm very sorry for those people trying to avoid COVID.
I'm sorry, everybody. But it's a key part of this story.
It is.
So I got made redundant from that, which was a nightmare. But I really enjoyed the time that I was on the radio. I was interviewing a load of interesting people from Norfolk. Like, we had some fantastic people in. I got to meet so many cool people and listen to lots of great music. So yeah, it was a dream job, really.
Well, in 2021 or 2022 or wherever, I mean, you can jump right back into these things.
Thank you. Yes,
exactly. So you're now gonna play us a song on my clunky old piano.
I can't wait. I'm excited for this.
Great. Let's just spin you around there and then we'll have a go. There you go. Are you all comfortable at the piano?
I am, thank you. Yeah.
Good-o. Whenever you're ready, Sam.
Out of the blue,
Sam Coe at the piano.
Thanks.
Lovely. How was the piano?
Clunky and good. I liked it very much.
Yeah. So, Sam, that's the final song you're going to play for us today, which is sad. But anything else coming up? What will you be doing? So you mentioned earlier you were going to do some stuff with the Long Shadows again.
Yeah, hopefully. I'm hoping to do a couple of things online just to, you know, keep our... Because we've got a really big country fan base there with the Long Shadows. I don't want to just, you know... doing nothing. So we'll give them their Long Shadows fix at some point before Christmas, maybe a little pre-recorded gig or live stream. I've got a couple of gigs in the diary that may or may not happen. I've been doing quite a lot of co-writing as well, which has been really good fun. So just keeping myself busy and working on this second album, which will hopefully be recorded over Christmas and out in the spring.
So you are still working on the second album? That's a solo album?
Yeah, it is. Lovely. Yeah, it was kind of unexpected. I didn't think that I'd be doing it. This year was meant to be about touring the Comeback Queen record. We were booked to do a three-week tour in Europe, numerous festivals. Obviously, we know why that's not happened. We're going to rebook that tour for next year, but also hopefully have a second album under our wing as well.
Wonderful. Well, Sam, thanks ever so much for coming
in. Thank you for having me.
It's been a privilege.
Me.
Really lovely to see you and listen. Sam Coe. Anyone else? What celebrities have you? Well, my phone's gone dead, so that's messed me up because I had a list of celebrities I met on there. Now I'm just going to be like Ben. Now I'm screwed.
Not directly me, but my mum. Mm-hmm. It's a good story because I don't think my mum could have been any more mum than she was, who was just mum, just went through life, just like floated along. Mm-hmm. But she worked in a corner shop for a little while. A gentleman came in one day and he, American accent, and can I buy a 20 sterling blacks? And mum was like, yeah, there you go. And he paid in a 20 quid note. And off he went and everybody came in and was like, Dawn, do you know who that was? Oh. And mum was like, no. And mum had just served Johnny Depp.
Nice.
20 cigarettes in the corner shop. No idea. And so they're sat
nice
with her,
looking fella.
And so they're like, Dawn, come to CCTV. Look, do you not recognise him? Nope. Johnny Depp. No.
Because
he's the greatest pirate.
He bought like a, or I know he had a place in Walbuswick, but he was around here, wasn't he?
He put in a offer for Langley Manor. And I think they wanted 1.5 and he put in 1.2 and it was denied.
He was in the local town here.
He floated it about for a while.
Doing some shopping. Yeah.
But
In Halston. Mm. He was floating around there, went into the card shop and bought a card for his mother. Mm. It's kind of weird.
I think he is a person, though. I think he is a human being, after all.
He is definitely a person, but this whole celebrity thing does, yeah.
Yeah, well, you mean he doesn't have somebody to do that for him?
Oh, no. I just mean... I don't know really what I mean. It's just bizarreness of celebrities, but
I wonder where his mum lives.
America, I'd imagine.
Well, I found out, and no, I didn't. But the celebrities do come to this area because there are some beautiful houses and stuff.
Mm-hmm. There's that rumor of AC/DC locally, wasn't there? They played a pub somewhere.
What? Fucking DC?
Well, no, they used to all meet up in the Cap in Halston because of the lorry company that did all their Trans Am trucking. So they used to all get in there in the early days and have a drink. So lots of people around here have sort of drunk with them.
There you go.
But I can top that because I met Jimmy Cricket. So, Johnny Depp, I met Jimmy Cricket and he gave me some colouring pens. You know when you used to get colouring pens in a row and they're all coloured like that?
Yeah.
In a row.
Like a rainbow.
You get like 10, 20, 30, and then it got ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
They had about, you know, 1 inch of ink in them. But I won a colouring competition.
Was this last year what you were telling me about?
Yeah, because I kept it all inside the lines and everything. You know, really careful. My tongue out. And I won a colouring competition and got to meet Jimmy Cricket. And he does all that thing, doesn't he, where he wears his welly boots left and right. You don't know who Jimmy Cricket is,
no.
Do you? No, okay. And he's a comedian. And he gave me some colouring pens.
But nice. A female actor that you bumped into.
Yeah, I can't remember her name because my phone went dead and I wrote them all down. But I met at a gig. She came to watch us play because we were playing near where they filmed Coronation Street. So wherever that is.
London?
No, it's Manchester, isn't it?
Manchester. And we were next to the studio-ish in a pub and we were playing or venue, and when they finish filming they often come out and come into this venue. I had never watched Coronation Street in my life. So I mean, I don't know, we finished the gig having a few drinks and a sort of horde of people came in, and apparently it was lots of cast from Coronation Street, caused a bit of a stir, and I just happened to chat to
Ken Barlow.
You haven't seen it either then.
What's her name? She was in FHM. I'll tell you what, I'll edit this in and just say it in a really solemn voice over the top.
No, keep chatting, I'll find it.
Okay, so anyway, and I'd had a few drinks and there's a picture of me with her and I am invading her space. You know, I've got my face pushed against hers. And
she's in yours as much as you're in hers.
Do you think? All right.
That's the reaction I wanted.
But I didn't really know. People just said, oh, she's FHM. So I was like, yeah, all right. All right, love. Oh, I've been abandoned that. You want a picture? You can have a picture with me if you want.
My sister had a
Craig, comment. I'll insert that in here. So her name was?
Matt Lucas.
Her name was?
Nikki Sanderson.
It's not there. There it is. It's going in there.
I was going to say my sister had a coffee with Billy Connolly.
Really?
Yeah.
Connolly with Billy Coffee.
Yeah. So they went into a cafe, her and dad, and cafe was packed, table for two. He said, there's a table for two already there. If they don't mind, you can just jump onto the, so it's where you got like there's two people tables next to each other. So it's not a four, but if they don't mind you jumping on, then we'll sit you down. And the waitress went and had a word with these two people and they said, no, it's absolutely fine. And dad and Heather sat down and it was Billy Connolly and his wife. And they just went, ha, ha. And not a huge chat, but I think there was a little bit of a...
Tell us a joke then.
Wait a minute.
Comedian, eh? You make me laughing. Well, I'm just trying to have a coffee, mate.
I think that weren't very funny.
I think it'd be more, I'm just trying to have a coffee. Can you just leave me alone?
You'll get a real job then, don't you, eh? Don't make me laugh. Another couple of coffees here, please. Who else?
I met Enya.
Oh, big names now.
It's pretty big, isn't names. It?
I think you've got her signature on a poster.
On her album.
And Sam Fox.
Is that the one above your bed?
Yeah.
Have I printed your next one?
No. Okay. I didn't get that one. My brother got Fox's for me.
Yeah.
Enya was doing an album signing in Belfast before Orinoco Flow and that. She was doing a BBC series, the music for it.
Ben, do you know who
Enya is?
Yeah.
No. To be fair, I'm not sure on this one.
Well, that's a really bad impression of her. But yeah, that's the noise I made earlier a second ago. It was that, but in a different key.
There's only me and my cousin turned up.
Really?
Yeah. I remember because we waited ages. And then the guys let us in and we were like, well, we're the only fuckers here.
Why have we been waiting ages?
Yeah, we chatted to her for ages and no one else came.
Awkward.
Yeah, real awkward.
For her. Do you reckon that's the highlight of her career?
Meeting Craig from the Little Red Kids.
Do you reckon she's doing a podcast now? Talking about the time she met you.
These two complete twats waited outside.
Yeah,
we just wanted them to go away.
Yeah. Yeah, she was nice. Real nice. Tiny.
You know when comedians have written like a world tour or whatever, or big stadium tour, they before they do that, they test out all their material.
Yeah.
Well, Lee Evans come to the Marina Theatre to do that, and I queued up for ages to get tickets and that. That's before. This was crazy. That's before they did online booking for tickets. I had to queue up.
How does that work whenever you're like 17?
Yeah, exactly. And I sat outside the fucking 5 a.m. sat outside Marina Theatre. And and got the tickets, and then the day came and went down, and he did the show, awesome. And there wasn't actually. It was he used to he used to say, "Oh, like some jokes are going to work, some ain't," and then I'm not going to put some jokes in the big thing in the next year or whatever. But he did exactly the same show because I bought the DVD like of the main thing. It's exactly the same. He didn't take a single joke out.
Was it packed out?
The Marina Theatre, yeah.
I think we were at the same show, Joe.
Really?
You go as well.
I saw him twice there, different tours.
And he come out afterwards and meets everyone, doesn't he?
Yeah, I didn't do that.
Oh,
it's like an eel, isn't he, after a gig?
You just cut aside for a fag, you come out, he got loopy. How was that for you, right?
This is baggy we grew ourselves, Lee. Keep fucking going out. Sparks up, you
know? Spent the whole gig throwing paper on the floor, didn't he?
Yeah.
That one didn't work.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
But he still did it in his fucking show. Yeah,
it's bullshit, that. He just wanted an extra gig on there. Yeah, it's just testing stuff out. Say a $7.50 ticket.
I wish they were that cheap.
Ben, who are you, Matt?
Michael J. Fox.
I thought you were going to say Michael Jackson then.
Well, either way, they're both high. Yeah. High ranking, but I don't believe...
I didn't. Sorry, Craig, I lied.
Oh.
I got within two rows of the Red Hot Chili Peppers. Does that count?
No, that does not. That's not me.
That's in the podcast gigs we've been to.
I got in with 50 rows of Aerosmith once.
Do you mean whilst you were watching them?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that does not count.
No.
Okay.
British rock band Twin Atlantic, met them in an airport as well.
Did you? Are they Scottish?
They are. Yeah. It was in Edinburgh Airport. I was arriving, they were leaving.
Wow.
And it was that walking past them and again looking at the singer going, wait. And the singer looked at me and he just again clocked that eye and just nodded at me. And I was like, hey, are you Twin Atlantic? And he's like, right there.
Are you Twin Atlantic?
Well, that's what people said to you. You the Red Kings.
Yeah.
I think I met them. No, I was actually. So that was on the return trip from the Bernard Hill.
Wow. Because I remember memories going through there.
Because I remember I put it on Facebook, and Jason within this room pretty much, I think, commented, "Who dat?"
I've seen Twin Atlantic support Kings of Leon and Catfish and the Bottlemen.
So you've met Kings of Leon and
according to Ben.
I met the thinking about it on an Irish flight, the Nigel Kennedy violinist. And he was like, I didn't meet him, I didn't say anything, but I just looked at his dirty spotty face. I properly met the Shed and Buried guys.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Henry Cole and, I've forgotten the other guy's name. And
that's nice.
Tracy will be going crazy because she really likes him.
I think I can hear her running down the...
But that was proper, awful kind of, like Craig was saying, they are people. That was proper horrible fan shit, which I'm not really into, but Tracy really wanted to meet them. She's not really into that either, but we queued up for an hour and a fucking half to meet Sam and Henry from Shed and Buried, that kind of thing, the TV show. And we queued up. And when we got there to the front of the queue, which is just insane, they were really nice in the chat for ages to us, which annoyed everyone behind us. and chatted for ages because he lived in Norfolk and stuff. And yeah. Got their autographs on our wall.
Oh.
A-listers, you know.
Yeah.
I was a similar sort of thing to Lee Evans thing. Went to see, he was kind of low-key a little bit then. Saw Lewis Capaldi at Cambridge.
Corn Exchange?
Well, I don't know.
Again, that's Ben.
But, yeah, and the girlfriend I was with at the time, what, just hang about the end, and he came out. And we were queuing up and she really wanted a picture with him. And so I took the picture of him, and then he was waiting for me to go and have a picture with him. And I was like, oh, nah, you're all right, mate.
That's what happened to me in the Embarrassing Moments podcast.
I played it really. I was like, oh, nah, you're all right, mate. And just walked off, and he's supposed to be like, what a cunt.
Oh.
Yeah, that's that.
Poor guy. Ben, have you met any celebrities?
I met Airwolf.
Fucks.
Who?
Met Airwolf, the TV show.
What the helicopter?
Helicopter.
I think we're wrapping up celebrities there.
I've got another two quickies. When I worked in a shop, Rick Wakeman came in and he was buying some stuff for his cats. And I was like, all right, Rick. And so I was getting him some stuff ready for him. And I got him to sign a CD that I was selling. It's awkward because he didn't have any of his. I had my CD. I got him to sign it. And his wife said, oh, is that one of yours, Rick? He's like, no. I don't know what that is. Anyway, so he signed one of my CDs. And then also in the same shop, I was selling my CDs, as I said, and an older couple came in, probably like 60s, something like that, and said, you're selling CDs here? And I said, yeah, they're my band. And they said, oh, yeah, you've got a band. And I said, yeah. They said, oh, my son's in the band. I said, oh, nice. They said, oh, we'll buy him one because we like to support local music. We're here on holiday from Devon or whatever. I said, oh, thanks very much. And five or whatever swapped. And they said, yeah, he's been doing bands, you know, messing about in bands for ages. He's not done a lot in a while. And they said, you won't have heard of these. But they said, yeah, his band is called Three Colours Red. And at the time, yeah, I was a massive fan of Three Colours Red, and I have probably seen Three Colours Red more than any other band. And this is like sort of 2000s.
Did you tell them that?
Yeah. So I said, he's in Three Colours Red. They said, yeah, he's a guitarist in Three Colours Red. And so I said, like me and Trace, we're both working there, and I said, I have not seen a band more times than I have seen Three Colours Red. They said, really? And she was like, well, yeah, they do really well. He's professional and stuff. He's always on tour and that. We don't really know much about what he does. And so I listed off all the albums and stuff and wrote a little note in the CD for him and said, oh, well, when you know, can you give him this and pass it on and that? She said, yeah. She said, it always amazes me. She said, like, how many fans they have when we go places and say. She said, it always amazes me, just, you know.
Yeah.
But she had no idea quite how big they were. I mean, I'd seen them thousands of times, you know. I'd seen them all the time.
Are they a good band?
Yeah, brilliant. Just a rock band. He always had his guitar really low slung, crazy, like his knees, managed to bend his arms around, chug, 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 chug. And they had a bit of more commercial success with some softer sort of songs. But yeah, awesome. Three Colours Red, if you look up that band, incredible. But I met his mum and dad. Weird. Ben, have you
ever met a celebrity?
I'm just thinking. I think it was Asda once and saw Jimmy Now.
You say, crocodile shoes.
Oh, for fuck's sake. We're episode 48 and you still don't understand what the fuck we're doing.
You know these mics are on.
You know that. Fucking hell.
And on that bombshell, that was celebrities.
That was celebrities.
Let's get out of the van.
You've been listening to the Little Red Kings podcast. Contact us at podcast@littleredkings.com. We are currently looking for a show sponsor, so drop us an email at podcast@littleredkings.com and let's talk about it.